As we stand, let's pray. Our gracious God, as we open up your words and think together about your word to us, we pray that the light of your Holy Spirit would shine into our minds, our hearts, and our lives. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Please do take a seat. And take hold of a Bible, please, and turn up to page 1071. And that was our gospel reading there from John chapter 6 on page 1071. Can you imagine what it would be like to go from being hugely popular to being deserted by your friends in a matter of days? What it would be like to one day be praised as the best thing since sliced bread, and the next day rejected like a two-week-old loaf of mouldy bread? Well, that was Jesus' experience in John chapter 6, our gospel reading for today. At the start of the chapter, he was followed by huge crowds who were craning to have a look at him and hanging off his every word. But by the end of the chapter, the vast majority of those crowds had walked away from Jesus, rejected him. It seemed like a disaster, but Jesus was left with Peter and a few others who had a growing faith and a humble confidence that Jesus was the source of eternal life. Well, still today, many in our country are sadly rejecting Jesus. But also, still today, there are those like Peter who stick with him and who have that growing faith. And so we're going to see this morning in our gospel reading, first, why it is that so many people reject Jesus and walk away from him. We'll see why that is. But second, we'll see why it is that people stick with him, and how we can be those like Simon Peter who have that growing faith and that humble confidence that Jesus is the source of eternal life. So first then, why do so many people reject Jesus like the crowds in John chapter 6 who walked away from him? Well, the answer here is that Jesus' words are challenging. That's why so many people reject him. Jesus' words are challenging. Let me read from verse 60 onwards and see if you can spot that. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Jesus' words are challenging. In John chapter 6, Jesus has been teaching that he is the bread of life. He said many challenging things. Things about who he is, that he's come down from heaven as the Son of God. He said things which challenge their cherished customs that they had in those days. But perhaps most challenging is what Jesus has said about our vital need for faith in his saving death. We see this, for instance, in verse 53. It's just before our reading. Let me read it for us. Jesus said to them in verse 53, "I tell you the truth, unless you can eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." What does Jesus mean by that? Let me explain. Jesus is saying that left to ourselves without him, we have no spiritual life in us. Our sin is like a barrier. It separates us from relationship with God, from true life. And so we need Jesus to die for us. We need his flesh and blood to be given for us on the cross. As Jesus died, he took his people's sin onto himself so that that barrier is removed and we can have fellowship with God. But more than that, Jesus is saying here that we need to receive the benefits of his death personally for ourselves. That's what he means by eating his flesh and drinking his blood. We do that as we come to him and put our trust in him and his death to take our sins away. Now, it is a wonderful thing that in his love, Jesus came to die so that we might have life. But the challenging implication of that is that we have a vital need for faith in his saving death. As Jesus says, unless you can eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. It's very challenging. Nothing else can give us spiritual life. Not being English, not good deeds, not coming to church. Only faith in Jesus' saving death can give us life. Well, Jesus' words are truly challenging. They found them challenging when they first heard them. And actually, all of us find Jesus' words challenging at times. The vital question is, what will we do when we find Jesus' words hard to accept? Will we throw him out, like most of the crowds in John 6? Or will we hear him out and ask him to help us understand why he says what he says? We have the same situation, in fact, when a doctor comes to visit us in our home. So imagine a doctor came to visit me and he would say, Mr. Drake, we've tested your eyesight. It's getting worse. We've measured your blood pressure. It's increasing. We've measured your waistline. It's growing every time I visit. Now, these are challenging words. It's not easy to hear these things from the doctor. I'm tempted to throw him out. But then I bear in mind, hang on, who is he? He's the doctor. Why has he come to make me well? And so I hear him out, even though his words are deeply challenging. Well, in verse 62, Jesus, speaking to those who find his teaching challenging, says, what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? In other words, don't forget who I am. I'm not just another rabbi, Jesus says. I'm the Son of God, come down from heaven. Later in verse 63, he says, the words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. In other words, don't forget why I've come. I've come to bring life. So in a sense, it should be no surprise to us that Jesus' words are challenging. Jesus does not speak to us as a man who's come to flatter us. He speaks to us as God, who has come to rescue us and bring us into life. No wonder his words are challenging. So when we find his words challenging, let's not throw him out. That's like throwing out the doctor with a challenging diagnosis. Instead, let's ask God to help us. As Jesus himself says in verse 65, no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. When we find his words challenging, ask God to help us understand not only what Jesus says, but why he says these challenging things. That's the first thing. Jesus' words are challenging. And it's the reason why so many people then and now reject him. But there's a second thing. Jesus' words are life-giving. See, not only are they challenging, but also they are life-giving. And that's why Peter and the others stuck with Jesus, even when so many turned away. And it's why their faith was growing. We can see this if we look once again at verse 63. Jesus said, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Now, Jesus' Jewish hearers knew from their Old Testament that the Holy Spirit gives spiritual life. The flesh, that is human effort, counts for nothing. No matter how hard we try, we can't earn our own relationship with God. No, he needs to give it to us. But Jesus goes on to say something wonderful about his words. He says, the words I have spoken to you are spirit. Jesus' words come from the life-giving Holy Spirit. And not only that, he says, the words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. The Holy Spirit works through Jesus' words. He uses them to give spiritual life. Jesus' words a life-giving. A few weeks ago, someone was teaching me how to give the kiss of life. Do you know what I mean by the kiss of life? It's when someone collapses and you sort of breathe life back into them by breathing air into their lungs. You'll be pleased to hear this was only a theoretical demonstration. No actual kiss of life had to be given in order to learn this. But what I realize is that air is vital to life. We need air at the start of life. We need air all the time our life continues. Well, just as air gives physical life, Jesus' words give spiritual life. The Holy Spirit uses Jesus' words to breathe spiritual life into people when they first put their trust in him. And he uses them to sustain and grow that life as we go through life with Jesus. You can't separate the Holy Spirit and Jesus' words. That's why Jesus says, "The words I've spoken to you are spirit and they are life." Like the air we breathe, Jesus' words bring life, new spiritual life and sustained life. By the way, that's why the reading of the scriptures and the preaching of the scriptures are central in Church of England services and in church services all over the country. It gives us the opportunity to breathe in great lungfuls of the life-giving words Sunday by Sunday. It's also why it's so wonderful when people read the Bible on their own in their homes during the week. All over Wargrave, morning by morning, people are silently drawing from the well of the words of life. Well, by this point in John's Gospel, Simon Peter, has realized the wonderful truth that Jesus' words are life-giving. So when the crowds turn away from Jesus, Jesus asks the 12 if they want to leave as well. And see Peter's wonderful answer in verse 68. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Now, Peter knew that Jesus' words were challenging, but he also knew that they were life-giving. He's been listening to what Jesus has said in John chapter 6 about Jesus' future death, about how his flesh and blood would be given on the cross so that we might have eternal life. Peter has heard what Jesus said about our vital need for faith in his saving death. And as Peter put his trust in Jesus and in his words, he has found that his sins were washed away, his guilt was atoned for, his heart was changed. In other words, he had received eternal life. In John's Gospel, eternal life is life in relationship with God, life as it was meant to be, that started when Peter put his trust in Jesus and that continues forever. Well, Peter is so thrilled with Jesus and his words of eternal life that wild horses wouldn't drag him away. The crowds might leave Jesus because his words are challenging, but Peter sticks with Jesus because his words are life-giving. As we close, perhaps we just ask ourselves how we are responding to Jesus and his words. Maybe we simply find Jesus' words challenging. Well, if so, hear Jesus out. Remember that like a good doctor, he challenges us because he loves us. In fact, ask God to help you understand not only what Jesus says, but why he says these challenging things. But perhaps like Peter, you know that as well as being challenging, Jesus' words are the words of eternal life. Well, if so, give great thanks to God for enabling you to come to Jesus. And keep drawing deeply from this well of the life-giving words of Jesus. And if that's us, we can make Peter's answer in verse 68 our prayer for this morning and for the week ahead. This wonderful answer of Peter's that can also be our prayer. Lord, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Amen.